Hello, everyone. I am James Dean Mixes from the Mixing Music Podcast, member exclusive episodes, where every week DK and I break down the technical side of mixing, mastering, and music production. With the normal weekly episodes, you get to hear DK and Lou talk about the more philosophical side of the music industry. On the member exclusive episodes, DK and I get more into the nitty-gritty technical side of things. We sometimes do mix breakdowns, we break down technical tips, and sometimes we share things that couldn't be shared on the normal public episodes. And we release two of these episodes every week. So for $3.99 a month, you get quite the bang for your buck. So go check out the mixingmusicpodcast.com or click on the link in the description to subscribe now. So without further ado, here's an episode from the vault. Mixing Music Podcast. I am your host, James Dean Mixes, and I am here today solo. DK was not able to make it because he got caught up in a few meetings, but we'll still be able to have a great episode. And today we are going to be doing a very special mix breakdown. So this is for a mix that I did called Royals by Samuel Charles Band. This song is not out yet. I got special permission from Zane, who is the lead singer in the band. And a little backstory on this, I heard him perform it actually live before he even recorded it and before I was even working with this band. And I just really love his lyrics and his melodies, and I really enjoy his voice as well. And I think his band does an amazing job. They have a great drummer, they have a great guitarist and some great background vocalists. So without further ado, we'll dive into it. So here is a before and after of my mix for Royals by Samuel Charles Band.
You've lost your heart but kept your little heart. Now live and die for everyone. The crowd for anyone whose appetite can crave less skin on their bones. Now why, tell me why, did we ever? You've lost your heart but kept your little waist. Now live and die for everyone. A crowd who'd clap for anyone whose appetite can crave less skin on their bones. Now why, tell me why, did we ever?
Okay, and as you can hear, it's not some kind of a huge difference. He really liked how things sounded. He is someone who really dials in his guitar tones and his drums, and I did not want to mess with that too much, so I just gave everything more presence, cleaned them up. If you could hear it in the difference too, it's almost like the whole song opened up, so I was able to really help bring the song forward and give it that little bit that it needed to sound more commercial. For today's breakdown, we are going to be starting with the drums and what I did on there. So these were live drums recorded, and the producer that he worked with, he is very particular with his drum miking. So he had three mics on the kick, three mics on the snare, a few mics on each of the toms, and he was very detailed, but that was very helpful for me. Things already sounded great from the get-go, so I knew that they were very attached to how the kick and the snare sounded, so I wanted to make sure not to mess with that too much. So to start off with what I did on the drums is I started on the kick, and for me, when there's multiple mics on one instrument, like, you know, multiple mics on a guitar, multiple mics on a kick, I usually start with a phase alignment plugin. So I did a meta align. It's a simple phase alignment that you could do different groups with, and I just like how it works. And honestly, it's just the first phase alignment plugin that I got. And so I did that to line up the kick mics with each other. And then from there, I started with a little bit of compression. Luckily, their drummer, he knows how to control how loud he's playing and is very appropriate with what's going on. So what I did is some very light, some semi-fast attack and release compression with the rubber band compressor. And it's only doing like a very little bit of reduction. It's mostly to catch those initial transients and to more or less smooth out the overall performance of the drums. So I started with that. And then from there, I took out the Pro Q3 from FabFilter, and I rolled off the low end with a high pass filter. And then for me, for some reason, a lot of times kicks will have this weird, like, I don't know if note is the right word, but frequency that pops out that makes it too harsh when you're bringing it forward with compression. And so around 100 dB for this kick, I did a cut, and I did another cut around 200, 210. And what this did is it made it so that the kick felt less aggressive, and so I was able to turn it up and make it louder in the mix without it being too overwhelming. So from there, what I did is I did another very small notch with the EQ at 50 hertz. And that was, again, it's just one of those weird little poking out parts that was too much for the drums when I started bringing it forward more and when things started cleaning up. So I was able to cut that out. And so from there, what I did is, that's all I did for the drums. Again, they were very attached to it, and so I didn't want to mess with it too much. And so that just kind of brought the kick forward. And so for the snare, I started with compressor settings I had for the kick. So like a medium, fast attack and release, to kind of just smack down those transients, keep the snare fairly consistent. And then both on the kick and the snare, I actually used trigger as a gate, and I used the gate on the bus for all of the kick mics and on the bus for all the snare mics. I found that trigger, it's a really good way to replace drum samples, but it also works as a very, very good gate that's fairly easy to dial in. So anyways, on the snare, what I did is I did some light compression on that to keep some consistency. And then I did a Pro Q 3. And something I did is I really like the presence that comes out around 100 hertz for the snare. But if I just do a simple ban, that also brings, I didn't like how the decay of the snare sounded around that frequency. So what I did is I set it to a dynamic EQ. So I had it so it pushes up every time that the snare hit around 100K. And it was a fairly wide band EQ. And then around a 500 hertz, I also did a pretty wide Q band on there, just to give some more presence. Because that's a part that I, in my first mix, I actually cut out, but that changed too much how the snare sounded. And they really liked how the snare sounded in the original mix. And so I found that bringing up that part kind of, it kept the part that they liked with the snare. And it made it so that I could still keep the other changes I did that made it so I could bring the snare forward more. From there, though, I put a Pro R reverb on the snare. Sometimes the snare just needs a little more space to it. And the gate that I was using, it worked great, but it kind of did cut out the spacey sound that was with the snare. And so I used a very fast, very small space reverb for that. And from there, I went to the toms. And for the toms, I just did some very, very light compression. So they sounded great already, but they had too fast of, I felt like they had too harsh of beginning to their transients. And so I just use a very fast attack and release, a very fast attack and release compression on that, and that helped kind of even them out for the little snare fills that were throughout the song. And from there, I went to the hi-hats, or to the hi-hats and the rides and the overhead. So what I did is I bust those three mics onto one, and I treated them as overall overheads together. And so what I do with that is I did the rubber band compressor. I use that a lot on drums, and I use the compressor with hi-hats and cymbals and those kind of things, overheads, to just bring a very even signal to it. So it has a semi-fast attack. It's almost like a medium attack on the rubber band compressor and a very fast release. And what I did with that is I found that it brought some smoothness to the hi-hats. And then on the rubber band compressor, you can also do some EQ moves with it. And so I actually did a pretty big boost on around 16K and up with their built-in EQ, and I cut a lot of the low end too from around 200 hertz and down, and that kind of brought out the sound that I needed in the overheads. I feel like sometimes if you leave in too much of the low end with overheads, it creates just a weird sound with the kick and that is picking up and makes the kick too 3D for me, where I feel like most of the time the kick needs to be down the middle. And then from there with the overheads, I did some other cuts around 1K, 2K, and I rolled off the top end too because I noticed it was just coming in a touch too harsh. And then on the room mic, it was very simple processing. I put a tape face. So I used the tape distortion on there. And one of my main uses for tape distortion on overheads is to do a slower tape speed. And what that does is it it almost like sizzles or tames that high-end area. So when you kind of have some harsh hi-hats in there, I found that sometimes EQ can make it sound weird. And so the second best is tape distortion, and that helps almost smooth out that high-end area and smooths out the transients that are coming out and poking when the hi-hats hit, or, you know, they're doing the ride and things like that. So I did that, and then I did some EQ rolling off the lows and the highs just a little bit, and doing some cuts around 200 and 1K. And then on the overall drum bus, so I have all these going into a drum bus, I did some very, very light compression. So something to keep in mind is you want to make sure you always match the genre and how things sound. So this is more of a folk kind of song, and he gave me some John Mayer references, and something I noticed is the drums are very present, but at the same time, they're not overwhelming. So they're very, for example, the kick is very much more something that you just almost kind of feel, where in a lot of other genres like hip hop or R&B, you really want the kick there and banging, and you want to feel it really hard. Where in this, it's a very slight that you want to feel with it. So I usually do ascend with my kick and my snare to a parallel aux where I could just crush them and then blend that in to really give it that bang that it needs. For this song, though, I tried it and it just sounded weird. It didn't sound right, especially when comparing to the other references he gave me of how he wants things to sound, especially with the drums. I felt like it was okay to just kind of leave the drums more drawn back, and especially the kick, to make sure it's not taking up too much space. It's very much there to help, and it's almost like a warmth that the kick brings in this genre. But yeah, so that's my breakdown of what I did with the kick and the snare and the drums and all that. So I'm going to play a quick before and after of just the drums soloed so that you could hear the difference. It's not huge, but it just brings them a little more forward so that they still have presence and I could turn them up, but they're not the main thing that you're hearing in all this. Thank you for listening to this mix breakdown. This is part one of three. So next up, we are going to break down some guitars, especially in particular what I did on the guitar solo at the end. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. And stay saucy.
A lot of videos of the podcast and various other tutorials on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel at mixingmusicpodcast.com/YouTube. Happy mixing and enjoy the show.